Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show. Our mission is to serve you and empower you so you make better financial decisions in your life. Recently, I had a question from someone about virtual credit card numbers. And I think back, I wasn't happy with my explanation of them. So I want to explain what they are and why they're so valuable to you. Also, you know I love solar. And I've been into solar forever. Going back to 1979 was my first involvement with solar, believe it or not. And the technology has been making leaps and bounds with more efficiency and lower costs. I want to talk about a new development involving solar that could benefit you moving forward. So let's talk about something that can benefit you a lot. I love virtual credit cards. What is that? So you're shopping online, and let's say I'm shopping at Krista's retail store. And Krista, you just, truth be known, you just didn't invest enough in security for handling, processing credit cards. So
I'm cheap like that.
Pop in my credit card online, my 16 digits, and put in my expiration CVV. Date and my three-digit code and send it through. And a criminal's just waiting there. And they, here's another card coming into Krista's company. We're going to grab that and we're going to use that number. Well, what a virtual credit card number is also known as a one-time use number. And it's something that I'm amazed almost nobody knows exists. But many issuers have systems where it's just automated when you use their card and it does a one-time use number. So even though you, Krista, did not have the good security in place, a criminal has a number they can do nothing with because it was a one-time use number. And it's a fantastic thing. By the way, when you use Apple Pay or Android Pay, they call it Android Pay or Google Pay. Google Pay. When you use those, and there's one nobody has ever used in the United States called Samsung Pay. When you use any of those, they are an electronic version that works kind of like a virtual card. And again, defeats criminals being able to use that number to mess up your life. So I really want you to look at using virtual numbers for your online shopping. And many people have multiple credit cards and you have what they're called the back of the wallet cards. And there's one you just use because, that's the one I use. But I want you to check to see if any of the cards you have offer the virtual number service. And if you find one that's a good card to have that has the virtual numbers, use that one for making your online purchases, because that's where the weakest link is in the payment system. Yes, it's true. You could have a retailer who gets compromised at what's called POS, point of sale, not that other term you were thinking of. And that's the terminal you tap your card or put it in at a store that with a POS system, it's possible that criminals would have infected that. But the greatest problems and risks have been with the online purchasing. And that's why I want you to segregate, even if you decide, you know what, I'm not doing that virtual thing. I want you to do whatever online purchases you do with one card. You know, it's a suggestion we had before from a listener that you also do that with any automatic payments. If you're doing automatic payments on a credit card that you use one card for any automatic payments you're doing, whether it's your cell phone bill or your gym membership or whatever it is, where it's an automatic payment billed to a credit card, that if there's a security leak with any online payment, that it's only affecting that segment of what you do. But that's not a common area where the data breaches occur. Because what happens otherwise, unless your credit card company is just really on top of it, you have to update all your online payments you do. And that's why that's something you segregate in your life. If you want to understand the virtual credit cards, we have a pretty clear and simple English explanation about how they work, how you use them, a short briefing at clark.com. Krista?
Do you ever, or would you ever, let your browser or your phone remember credit card numbers, store them?
So if you have... if you have your computer protected, either like this one that I have in front of me, I have to use my fingerprint to get in. If you have good security on your computer, and allowing your browser to store is an acceptable way. You know, there's been a lot of debate about allowing the Google Chrome browser to store usernames, passwords, credit card numbers. And generally, most people in security find that to be an okay way to do things.
Good. Because I'm so happy sometimes when it pops up and fills it in, because I don't happen too lazy to get off the couch and go look at my card.
You don't know your numbers in your head?
No, but you have to memorize the CVV codes, right?
I know those too.
They usually make
and my expiration dates.
Wow. Well,
but I don't
have a much better memory than I do.
But I don't remember for any of my three kids if they're left-handed or right-handed and what color their eyes are. I mean, it's crazy. I have this thing for numbers.
Yeah, your brain's amazing with that.
And then things that really matter. Like, I can tell you how many days it is till my middle child graduates from college, and I don't have any of those tuition payments anymore.
It's 108 days, by the way. All right. We've got some questions here. This is from Karen. On a recent podcast, you were talking about how when your 16-year-old son recently lost his wallet, among the things he lost was his credit card. I know that you never use debit card and credit card interchangeably. So can you talk about what kind of credit card Grant has? My oldest and your youngest are about the same age, so I listen closely when you talk about finances for 16-year-olds. Heaven help me when I add my boy to my car insurance this spring, but I digress.
Have you found out yet with your 16-year-old?
No, how much I feel you, Karen.
You haven't found out.
He just
the
passed
increase?
His driver's test. He hasn't gotten his actual license yet, so we'll see. I'm terrified.
Yeah, just let some time pass.
Yeah,
every day you save money.
I can't make it. I can't take you up there.
So what? You got to know your kid and how you'd handle it. So with Grant, what I did is I made him an authorized user on my Navy Federal credit card. And I get an alert every time he does a purchase more than, I don't know, I want him to know how much it is, but it's a relatively small amount of money. And then I can say, hey, Grant, I see you're at blah, blah, blah. How come you spent X number of dollars? And he's like, Dad. Yeah. So anyway, I have taken the chance of the dynamite with him being 16 and a half years old, that he is an authorized user on a card. He knows I'm watching, and it gives me the protection you have with a credit card. And the only protection I don't have is if suddenly he becomes wildly irresponsible. But again, I've got the alerts from Navy Federal, and I know what he's up to.
Like when my boy ordered an ice cream cone on Uber Eats that cost us like $15 one time. He won't do that again. Okay, this is from...
All right, so nobody in my household has ever ordered from a food delivery service because they want me to stay alive. Could you imagine?
He's lucky he's alive after he did that.
The door knocks and it's somebody from DoorDash, Uber Eats, something like that with food. Everybody knows in my family that would be it. Something terminal would happen to me right at that minute.
Really quick, you need to tell the story because this is funny. You live in a condo building now and you walk out and you'll get your food and you bring food sometimes to the people who work in the lobby, right?
Yeah.
So what happened to you the other day?
Oh, when somebody thought I was a food delivery person?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they told you you were like going in the wrong entrance or
yes,
something?
Yes, they said I needed to go in the other entrance.
You were like, I live here. Okay, from Kathy in Montana. I would like to travel to Germany in the fall of 2022 to visit family. I'm flexible about when I travel and could book a flight fairly late, like 3 to 4 weeks ahead of time. My first priority is getting a good deal. I would start in Kalispell, Montana, and will fly into Frankfurt. I'm not flexible around my starting and ending points, but I'm flexible around dates as long as I can travel sometime between September and Thanksgiving. When should I start shopping for a flight? I'm using Google Flights and tracking prices, but I'm surprised by the high cost. How can I find a deal?
So what you said to me early is what's killing you on the cost. Kalispell. One of the coolest places I've ever been is that part of Montana. But Kalispell is not a competitive airport. So you can get pretty easily from Kalispell, as an example, to Denver. I want you to start shopping fares from Denver to Europe, and you're going to see a whole different feeling in what you're going to see on prices to Germany. Looking at Denver, I think you can get to Chicago pretty easily from Kalispell. Domestic fares, even from places like Kalispell, have been really great over the last few years. So you want to look instead buying a domestic ticket from Kalispell to a gateway airport where the fares are going to be a whole lot lower to Germany. And it means you're going to buy two tickets doing that. Take some of your flexibility away later. I want you to make sure that you get to, whether it's Denver, Chicago, New York, Minneapolis, whatever place it is that you find the best deal to Germany, I want you to go and have the expense maybe of a hotel the night before, wherever it is you're changing planes. Because if you miss your flight to Germany, you're going to be cursing my name over and over again. And so you make it a little mini vacation for that overnight wherever you do that plane change. But that's how you're going to get the fare way, way down from what it is from what's known as a third level destination like Kalispell that doesn't have any competitive service for a trip like going to Germany.
And from Lori in Mississippi, it's the new year and I want to start exercising more and developing healthier habits. I know you love to exercise and I was wondering about your routine. What time of day do you exercise that you found works best for you? And how do you stay motivated to keep exercising?
So Lori, if you ever watch a video of me, you'll see I have itchy feet. I always have to be moving. So for me, it doesn't really matter time of day. For example, yesterday I took a yoga class at 4 p.m. Next one I'm taking at 10:30 a.m. I just love to exercise, but you're completely right. Most people do best having a set time of day, usually in the morning, that they do exercise, whether it's going on a 30-minute walk or it's getting on a Stairmaster, an elliptical, or a treadmill, or whatever it is, for a half hour. And you'll hear my obsession with a half hour all the time. Anyway, doing that in the morning, because once we get in our day, most people who don't have an obsession with exercise like I do find they don't get around to it if they don't do it in the morning. And Krista, you are probably more obsessed with exercise than I am. Time of day probably doesn't matter to you?
It doesn't. It just depends on the day. But I've been trying to move more and walk more. And so I have some goals around walking my dogs and then I've been eating healthier. But one thing I noticed with you and with myself too is the gamification of having some kind of a tracking device is really helpful where you feel challenged. You know, you can hit certain goals and community around that I've found is helpful.
So I have 3 trackers on right now. To tell you how obsessed I am with exercise, I have my Garmin fitness tracker, and then I have my Samsung smartwatch. How do you like your Samsung, by the way?
I love it.
Okay, and then I have the Oura Ring, which is my absolute favorite, OuraRing.com, which is a European thing. And I haven't mentioned, But I was sick recently and thought I had COVID. Turned out I didn't. I had the rapid test, which was negative, but doesn't mean anything. And then I had the PCR. It was negative. And I had a really high fever and all that. And my aura score on readiness, it's usually about an 83 to 85, which is your overall health metrics, dropped to a 37. I mean, that was really, really unbelievably bad. And it does such a great job of coaching me to better health, coaching me to better sleep. And I just love this thing. And it was funny. I just saw Consumer Reports in their February issue just rated the Aura as the best of all fitness trackers. Very expensive. It is $299. I wear it as my wedding band. And it is this continuous, not nag, but coach. So it is, I've learned it's my absolute favorite after being addicted to Garmin the last 11 years. I don't look at my Garmin a lot now. I look at the data from Aura. Is that enough about exercise?
Yeah.
Can you tell for sure how exercise obsessed I am?
Good luck, Lori. Seriously.
Yeah. And Lori, one step at a time, start it slow, but build the daily habit. Change your life. So speaking of changing your bills, solar is something that is a giant puzzle people ask me about all the time, but there's a new puzzle piece that may really change the equation for the decision you make. I'm going to tell you about that.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So it is true. I have an obsessive personality. We talked about my obsession with exercise just a few minutes ago. And I've been obsessed with solar power since the 1970s. I worked on a project for one of the monopoly power companies using rudimentary solar as a way to bring people affordable hot water and heat in very low-income areas. And I'm going to tell you something, Krista, that you always say I'm an onion.
You are an onion.
I don't know if you know about this, but
I tried
these experiments with oil barrels. You know, oil barrels are, I guess, 40 gallons or whatever. They're big, lunky things. And we tried this thing where we filled them with water, put them on the side of a home that had direct sunlight, and it generated radiant heat that it just... On a cold day, if the sun was shining in a part of the country with a lot of sun, the sun would just make that barrel ultra hot and dangerous to the touch and generate free heat.
That's awesome.
Just one of the things we experimented with, using the sun as a way to bring people affordable energy. Well, obviously, we're talking about it's 43 years ago that I worked on that project, and things have changed a lot. And Tesla, all the things Tesla does and promises and does do and doesn't do, Tesla's, I'd say, greatest fail has been the promise of roof shingles that are solar. Tesla had developed them years ago, but has failed to execute them as a marketplace product. But others in roofing were looking at this and they're like, hey, that evil genius, he's right. And now GAF, which is one of the largest players in roofing, has developed a solar shingle that is really smart because it looks like from the street, like any other roofs, you don't have to have the weirdo panels and all that. And when your roof wears out, it becomes a viable, cost-effective way in most everywhere in the country to go with the GAF solar shingles, in theory, than to replace a roof with traditional shingles. And then your roof, just with the shingles you have to protect your home, becomes a power plant. And so it's something that people in the solar field have thought was just around the corner forever. But the design's called Timberline, and it will require roofers to be interested in having it and selling it as a product. But in many ways, it works just like other roof installations, with the addition that it becomes a power plant. And this is something that obviously every kilowatt hour we can generate on location becomes really wonderful. And as the battery technology continues to improve, it means, for example, if the North Koreans or Putin or the communist Chinese try to undermine our grid, that you may be in a position at your home that you can go for days off of the power that's been generated by your solar panels or solar shingles that is being backed up by the batteries you have in your garage, if you have a house with a garage. I mean, there's so many possibilities here. And that's why from the get-go, when Elon Musk first talked about what was then called Solar City, which was a company I think that was started by his cousin or something, anyway, that Solar City had come up with these shingles, and Tesla bought the company, and they were kind of like, this is going to be huge. We're going to have these shingle solar roofs all over the place. And we're waiting, we're waiting. Well, now mainstream from GAF, this may really take hold. And this is a concept that's not an if, it's only a when. And you and your husband, Krista, have talked about doing solar, and it just hadn't quite worked for you.
Mm-hmm. We're nervous to spend the money, honestly.
Yeah, so when the time comes that that roof of yours needs replacing, maybe the stars are going to align, or in this case, the sun, and it will work just right for you to put that in. And I will, over the next many months, or hopefully not years, I'll let you know how this is progressing as a viable technology for you to look at as something to put on your house and run your own power plant instead of being at the mercy of whatever monopoly power provider you have to use where you live.
I actually have a question about this from Julio in Georgia. He said, I want to install solar panels on my roof. What do I need to know before I get quotes?
Okay, so spend time on the EPA website and any other nonprofit websites, figuring out first where you live, does it actually work for you to do solar where you live in Georgia? Do the economics at base work? Is there enough sun? Is there enough payback that you're in an area that's good for you to have solar? Number two, they will help you calculate at these third-party websites rather than what some salesperson tells you, how large a system you would need for the square footage of your home. And so going in armed with basic knowledge about whether it's practical where you live first, and if it's not practical, you're done, or if it is practical, what kind of system you should be looking at. Salesperson's going to try to sell you the largest system they possibly can at the highest possible price, but that may not be appropriate for payback where you live. So you want to do that work on your own first. Also, you may find stuff at energy.gov, because more than one federal agency has its fingers in this as far as effective tools. I'm going to look also, and I'll do a follow-up, if there's a really great tool I like, nonprofit or governmental, to do the calculations. And then you get quotes. Stay away from anybody who wants to lease you a system. You want to own that system. And be careful with the financing, because you may kill any potential of you selling your home as long as a solar loan is outstanding. And absolutely with a lease, you could make your home unsellable because you've created an obligation for a buyer, a future buyer, rather than an asset there.
Grace in Arizona says, is it worth it to purchase a car or home warranty? And if so, which ones do you purchase?
Is it worth it? So home warranties are a joke. They are very ineffective. They're not ridiculous money. They tend to be around $600 a year, more or less. But the complaints we've had about them are so many that it's a stunner. And occasionally we'll have somebody say how wrong I am, that they had this go wrong or that go wrong, and the warranty company came through for them.
It's probably like 1 to 30, I would say, in terms of the emails I look at.
Right. Because we get the complaints all the time. On the car warranty, the issue is much fuzzier. Rule number one, if you ever do want to buy an extension of the manufacturer's warranty, you only buy that from the manufacturer of your brand. If you have a Ford, you want a Ford. If you have a Toyota, you want a Toyota, whatever. Never just because the dealer says, oh, we have this great warranty. It's really, really wonderful. Well, whose warranty is it? Oh, it's really this wonderful thing. That's a massive profit center for the dealers when they sell you that third-party garbage. The only vehicle warranty that's safe to buy is from the manufacturer of your brand. Now, the dealers can sell those. They just choose to tell you why they're terrible and why you should buy this other trash that they're selling that has the massive profits. You don't want those. Should you have one? So if you look at Consumer Reports' history of record or repair on the make, model, and year of your vehicle, and your vehicle has extremely high reliability, then I think you're best off taking the few thousand dollars you would spend for an extension of the warranty and keep it in savings. And if something does go wrong with your vehicle, you're the unlucky one, then you got the money to pay at least part of the repair. On the other hand, if you look at the Consumer Reports information on your make, model, and year, and it's atrocious reliability, that would make a strong argument for you buying a manufacturer's extension of the warranty.
And this is from Jay. You have me more than a little concerned that you're considering the next phase of your life. Here are some of the breadcrumbs I think that I have picked up. You've liquidated your real estate investments. You've sold your home and moved into a condo. You've recently talked about Krista being named as COO of Clark Howard Inc. Everyone deserves a fulfilling retirement, but I'm concerned that you might be approaching yours. You've made such a positive impact in my life and millions of listeners' lives that it's hard to imagine a world without you. Tell me that I'm crazy or paranoid.
Well, I'm not going to tell you you're crazy or paranoid, Jay, but first on the real estate. So I did last decade at one point own 9 properties. I had acquired a lot during the real estate bust and have strategically reduced that from 9 to 4. So 4 is not like fully liquidated. Why did we move from a house to a condo? Because I wanted to simplify our lives, and we live in more than one city, and having a house when you're not in it is a lot more hassle than a condo that you just lock the door and you go. So it was a lifestyle choice, not an economic choice. Krista being COO of the company is because she deserves it. She's worked hard since 1997 and has done a phenomenal job overseeing Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com. So it is a privilege that she earned and deserves.
Thank you.
Running the company. As for me, what in the world would I do with retirement? I'd work out all the time. Oh, I already do that. The only thing I'd want to do is travel more, but I do more travel than most people do pre-pandemic. And my wife would go absolutely crazy if I was around all the time. Lane really prefers that I work. And I don't have anything I'm yearning to do or not do that would take me away from working. I mean, I'm going to be 67 soon, and there may come a time that mentally I'm not as sharp or physically I'm not in as good a shape. And I think one of those two things would be likely to lead to retirement. Now, I've retired from things. Like, I did a syndicated radio show for more than two decades, and it was a lot of responsibility. And I did retire from syndicated radio, and that's why we now do the podcast, because the podcast is more flexible. But retirement.
And when you were 31, you retired.
Well, I did retire. It's true. I did retire and become a beach bum for a number of years, retiring the first time at 31. But there's nothing like that I see. I don't even see a hint at all that I would bag work.
Just keep having fun and helping people.
That's our job. And it's a joy. So speaking of it, I hope you found today's podcast a joy. And remember this rule from my late father, who died long, long ago in the 1980s. He used to use a phrase that I think is so valuable to people, particularly in a time of uncertainty in the world. He talked about life being 99 rounds. They're going to be good ones. They're going to be ones you got knocked to the canvas. You got to dust yourself off and get back up. If you're in a tough spot financially right now, as a result of the last 2 years of the pandemic, I know you feel like there's no way out, but there always is. And give yourself credit and faith in yourself and what you're going to be able to do to work your way out of the financial hardships you have had visit you these last 2 years. And I hope that you have an absolutely wonderful rest of your day.